Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message, as I've said a couple times already, is from the sixth chapter of St. Luke, where Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Dear friends in Christ. There's a passage in Acts chapter 25, verse 35, where Paul actually quotes Jesus as saying something that none of the gospel writers record that he had ever said. There in Acts, Paul writes that Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, while none of the gospel writers records that exact quote, they do record teachings that share the same message. The teachings like we kind of have in our gospel lesson today. We're also encouraged to love, to bless, to give away and lend, not just to the deserving, but also to the undeserving. Of course, if you're going to give something away, well, you got to have it to begin with. So we as Christians are to love and to give more than anyone, because you and I, we are loved and given all that is good by God. You see, we do realize, of course, that we are supposed to love and we're supposed to give to others. After all, everything we have, everything that we realize is a gift from God. See, God's given us a lot of things, especially here in the United States. He's given us many material gifts, just as he gave a lot of gifts to those who followed him in those readings and especially these readings we've heard throughout Epiphany. Here in the United States, we are blessed beyond belief. Dinesh D'Souza, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of him, but he's a writer, a lecturer, and has also produced a few films, is from India. And when he immigrated here, he went back to India. He immigrated here, went to school here, and he went back to visit in India. And a friend of his or a relative of his said, I want to go to America too. And he said, well, what would you do in America? He says, it doesn't matter. There, even the poor people are fat. Which I thought was kind of funny. But it gives us a perspective on how blessed we in this country are. And we've received a great deal. God has blessed us. God has blessed each and every one. He's given us a lot of material gifts, especially. But even if we're not rich, God still has given us a lot of wonderful gifts. He's given us our bodies, our minds, our family, our friends, the support we have from others, and, you know, not the least of which is our church family, our family here. So God's given us many gifts. And quite naturally, let's face it, we're selective with our love and our gifts that we give out. Our first instinct is to keep those gifts, to guard them, hold on to every gift that we've been given. See, first, before we give away our gifts, our love, those things that we have to trust that person. You either have to date or be friends for a time. We have to trust them before loving them. It's just human nature. We count and measure out every dime that we have and what we need to keep before thinking about giving any of it away, even giving it to the church. And we try to judge whether somebody really needs or is worthy of our love and our gifts. Well, Jesus tells us something different in our text today. He tells us to love and give even to our enemies. Now, let's face it. They don't have to be enemies. We're usually stingier and we use stricter judgment with those people that we don't know. Maybe we won't give to our neighbor if we think that that gift is going to be misused. Maybe buying illicit drugs or doing something that we think is immoral. And this is just people that we don't know. Can you imagine how hard it is to give love to our enemies and those that we don't like or who mistreat us? It's impossible. I mean, we might be willing to buy our friend lunch every once in a while, you know, but we're not likely to give our lunch over to the school bully. Just walk up to him and say, "Here's my money." Unless you think it's just inevitable and you just don't want to get beaten up anyway. The fact is that we're no better than any other sinner when we give only to those who are worthy of our charity. Still, we can love and give to all because, brothers and sisters in Christ, we've been given good and we've been loved in Christ. I remember Pastor Tauscher, the pastor that confirmed me. I was talking to him one day and you're 14, 15 years old, and I was talking about how I hated this particular person, how they were just being mean to me all the time, and I was just really angry. And he said, "Have you tried praying for them?" And I said, "No." And he looked at me, he goes, he said, "Are you willing to pray for them?" And I'm like, "Not really." And he said, "Well, pray for this. Pray that you will be willing to forgive them, or willing to be willing to pray for them." And I said, "I can do that." It's harder to give to our enemies. But we have so much that's been given to us. I mean, we're in a position to give love because our Father, who's merciful, has given it first to us. And He has loved us. We've been given so much love and so many gifts by God. And brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know about you, but I'm unworthy of those gifts. And I suspect everybody here is unworthy as well. But the fact is, God has had mercy on you and me. God has given us, as His enemies, not just another cheek, a tunic, or an amount of money. God has given us His very own Son. So God took what seemed bad and made it for our good and for the good of our neighbor, just the same as He did to Joseph in our Old Testament reading today. Joseph actually says, "What you meant for bad, God meant for good." Jesus' horrible death is our greatest gift. And that death accomplishes completely everything that is necessary for our salvation. The very worst event and loss in the life of Jesus is our greatest benefit. It's interesting, in our text today, the word that's translated as benefit is the word charis. 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 Charis means, it is translated in most other places as grace. God's unmerited favor. The favor we didn't deserve that God gives to us. Grace. I thought that was just amazing that's been translated there, that benefit. So it's, if you love those who love you, what benefit? What is that? What grace is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, where's the grace there? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those, what credit? Where's the grace there? It's an amazing thing if you read that there. It's what we understand is that in Christ, God promises us forgiveness, even for all of our selfishness, even for our judgments, because of the cross of Christ and God's unmerited favor that we didn't deserve. The favor God shows to us for Jesus' sake. And let's face it, nothing is won or lost by having more stuff. I mean, it's not. We don't have to do anything to earn eternal life or to gain anything for ourselves. What remains in this life, then, is not a burden or something that must be done to qualify us for heaven. We've already been qualified by the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It's actually a gift, and it's an opportunity to love our neighbors and to show them the love that you and I have in Christ Jesus. See, what we are or what we have or do, it doesn't change who we are or what we are worth in Christ. It doesn't matter if we live or die with nothing more to our names than our name, or if we have $1 million. It doesn't matter. Our salvation has been accomplished. As Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It doesn't even matter if we live or die, because we have eternal life with Him. See, in Christ, eternal goodness is given to us. It's given to us. And God uses the things of this world as a gift to be given out of freedom, out of love, out of compassion, not out of compulsion. The glory of the things of this world, well, it's one kind of glory. But the glory that waits us is another type of glory, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians. It's a glory that lasts forever. The gifts of heaven and eternal life are those gifts that, as Jesus mentions here, are pressed down, shaken together, running over, and those that are just laid in our lap. I often say that a Christian can't help but show love for his brother and sister and for our neighbors, because God's love poured into us is like a never-ending pitcher poured into a cup that you just pours up, and it can't help but flow over into the rest of our lives. It can't help it. So the grace that we've been given is the grace that we give. The forgiveness that we have received is the forgiveness that we give. The gifts of heaven and eternal life are pressed down, shaken together, running over into our lap, because we're measured not by what we do, but by what Christ has done for us. So either give it away or keep it all. Have it all or have nothing at all. It doesn't make any difference. All of it is nothing more than a gift. It's a thing that's soon going to fade like grass or wither like a leaf. What is this world to me? It's nothing. It's not a thing of any value or worth, for we've been bought by the Lord of glory with His own precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. So regardless of the things that we have or don't have, what we do have is the grace of God and the benefits of the cross. That's a promise from God to you. So what about the things of this world? If they're of no benefit to us since our salvation has already been won, well, you might as well use them to benefit your neighbor. It's pretty much the way it is. So that they too might share in this love and this eternal life in Christ. After all, we're most certainly loved, and we're most certainly given very, very good by God. In His name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.